Well, good morning. I just have a question as we begin. What is all the white stuff that I'm seeing? I live in Tucson, Arizona right now, and we don't see the white stuff ever that you guys had, I guess, yesterday. Did it come down yesterday? Welcome to Greenville is basically what I see. It's incredible. It's such an honor to be with you. I want to introduce you to my family before we get started this morning. I'm blessed. My wife and I, tomorrow is 19 years that we have been married, and she's with me today. And this is my family in a larger-than-life size behind me, although not too much larger. My daughter is 15 years old. She's 5'10", and she has the final regular season game of her very first as a freshman varsity basketball season is Tuesday night. And so we are rushing back to see her, to be there for that last game. Middle daughter is Maya. She's 12. She's currently playing on 3 basketball teams, and she thinks she's pretty hot stuff as well as a 6th grader. And then there is the one and only Mason, who he is the self-proclaimed next Steph Curry. He loves to shoot the ball from all over the court, even when Daddy tells him not to. And we are excited to be going to Nairobi, Kenya, as your pastor said. It's exciting times for us. I'll share a little bit more with that in just a moment. But I have a question as we begin. How many of you want to live a blessed life? Let me ask that question again. Some of you may have been volunteering late into the night Friday night. How many of you want to live a blessed life? Amen. Amen. We want to live a blessed life. And we can look around and we can see blessings in other people's lives. It's pretty easy. But sometimes we lose track of the blessings that are in our life. You see, so many times we, especially here in America, we like to compare ourselves to others. And without raising hands, just think about it. How many of you look at someone else when they get the new job or they get the new car or they get the new house and think, man, God, why can't you do that for me? And it's easy for us to compare ourselves to one another. But I want to encourage you this morning. See, I heard a story one time of a guy who was building his dream home. And if you've had that opportunity, maybe you're in construction. I know that there are many of you here. Pastor was just walking around and showing me all the different things that you guys have recently been able to accomplish and done through the building. It's looking beautiful. It's so incredible. But some of you may be in here and you may be from a construction background. That is not me at all. I'm more like the guy in this story. You see, he was building his dream home and he decided that he wanted to help. And so he went to the contractor and he said to the contractor, there has got to be a job that I can do. The contractor knew the skill level of this particular individual because they were close friends. And he thought to himself for a little while, there is one job that he probably won't be able to mess up. I'll give him that job. And see, there was a pile of 2x4s that had arrived on the job site. And so the contractor said, okay, bring the first 2x4 over here. He handed him a tape measure. He stretched it out to 8 foot. And he said, we need all these boards cut to 8 foot. So he stretched the tape measure out. He drew the line right there. And then he cut the board. And he explained to the guy, this is the process that you do. Make sure you measure every one to 8 foot, cut the board. So the guy got through 4 or 5 of this process and thinking to himself, I'm so much smarter than these construction guys. I can do this better. He takes the board that he just cut and he lays it on top of the next board and he draws the line. He cuts that new board, takes the new board, lays it on top of the next board. And he is so proud of himself because he is flying through these boards. He gets to the end of the pile. And the general contractor comes back to the job site to check on him, and he looks at him and he's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I cut all the wood just like you told me to do. And so the contractor took the last board and he stretched out the tape measure and showed the guy that it was about 2 inches short. And that's what happens a lot in our life. When we start comparing ourselves to others, we miss the mark that God has for us. And it's our responsibility to follow the line that God has given us and to follow the script that he's given us. And did you know Jesus teaches us in the word how to live a blessed life? He does. In Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, it says this. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. Jesus replied, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. You see, I believe we are blessed as a church, as the church, to be a blessing. Amen? Amen? This whole series and this whole theme of the year, Love More, that's what it's all about. so that you can go out into your community, you can go out into your friends, your neighbors, your family, and you can share the love of God even more with the world around you. And not just the world here in Greenville, not just the world in South Carolina, but across the United States and even around the world. And I'm honored to follow up Vision Sunday of last week, especially I was asking pastor questions as we were walking through the building, because it's such an incredible thing for a church body to embrace. And when you understand, when you obey God's word and you love the world around you, he's just going to continue to funnel in those blessings. And I don't know about you, but I want to be on the receiving end so that I can continue to be a blessing to the world around me. The greatest blessings of God's word, I believe, come through obedience. You may or may not have heard the term ekklesia, but ekklesia, that's the Greek word that our Bibles translate as the church. But if we're breaking it down and we take it to what the word actually means, is it means the called out ones. Did you know as being a part of the church, you are a called out one? God has called you out for a purpose, and he has a plan for your life. And as we dive into the word this morning, I just want to open with a word of prayer, because I feel a strong sense of the presence of God in this place today. And I think God's going to challenge some of you to maybe take a step in his direction a little bit further and obey. And maybe some of those dreams that God has put in your heart, the way that he has put the dream for seeing boys and girls saved in Africa into my heart, maybe those dreams, you're going to take another step in the right direction to see those dreams fulfilled today. But let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity that you have blessed me with, the honor that you have blessed me with to stand in this pulpit today. God, I don't take it lightly. Holy Spirit, I invite you into this room. I pray that you would even go beyond the words that I say, and you would speak directly to hearts today, directly to lives, Lord God Almighty, that we would all live a blessed life so that we can be a blessing to the world around us. We love you, Jesus, in your name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So what is it that God is calling us out to do? If we are the called out ones, I believe there's three things that we are called out to do. The first is this: we are called to preach the gospel. Let me say that again to this side of the room. We are called to preach the gospel. Okay, it's all right to say. This is going to be interactive this morning. Is that okay? I mean, anybody that starts the message off with a McDonald's bag on the stage, maybe I would have had your attention if it was Chick-fil-A after I listened to all the giveaway, the stuff that you do. Maybe I have the wrong bag. We're called to preach the gospel. God wants us to preach the gospel. He tells us in his word, it says this in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and he said, this is Jesus talking to them, he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, a lot of times in the church world, we hear we are called to preach the gospel, and we want to put a pause on that. And we say, you know what, that's the professional's job. It's not my job to preach the gospel. That's why we have a pastor at our church to preach the gospel. But if I read what Jesus just said, he said to all of them, all the disciples, all of us, go and proclaim the gospel. So if that's the case, what is the gospel? I'm glad you asked. Says this, all the gospel in 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing, and all the gospel can be summed up in one verse. If maybe you haven't memorized scripture since you were a little kid, but if you're going to memorize a verse, this is a good one to memorize right here. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. It says this. This is Paul writing, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture. That's the whole gospel summed up in one verse right there. I like to say it like this. The good news that God became a man, this is what the gospel is, in Jesus Christ. He lived the life that I should have lived, and he died the life, or the death that I should have died. He took my place. He was resurrected 3 days later. He rose from the dead, proving that he was the Son of God. And this is the best part. And he offered us the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in him, so they can spend eternity with him in heaven. The gospel is the foundation for everything we do as the church. I will tell you that the gospel compels us to go. Us as a family. Not just me and my wife. This isn't just our calling. This is a calling for our entire family to go. So what happens if we don't go and preach the gospel? There's been some research that was done recently, and the study shows this. a religious forecast for 2050, the year 2050. Can you believe that we are as close to 2050 as we are now are to 1990? Time keeps ticking, but listen to this. A religious forecast for 2050 concludes that the global Muslim population is expected to grow at a faster rate than the Christian population. And by 2020, they will be equals. That's the path that we are on currently. And there's a whole lot of reasons, there's a whole lot of research, there's a whole lot of things that are bringing us to this point of time right now in history that if something dramatic doesn't happen, by 2050, there will be just as many Muslims in the world as there are Christians. We're compelled to go. And I want to show you why. Can you play that video for me?
Africa is plagued by problems. Wars, disease, corruption, starvation, and children are the most vulnerable. Imagine how different Africa might look if the next generation was filled with business people, politicians, police, teachers, mothers and fathers who truly follow Jesus with all their heart because someone had introduced them to Jesus when they were young. We can shape the future if we reach the next generation today. There are over 400 million children in Africa. Imagine if every church in every country were to reach out to every child in its community right now. Africa's Children believes now is the time to reach Africa's next generation. That's why the Africa's Children Now initiative was formed, to harness the potential of the African church to reach children. It's all about everyone doing something in order to see a huge change. Through empowering, caring, equipping, and reaching, we want to create an opportunity for every child to experience the love of Christ and choose to follow Him. Africa's church is on the rise and growing faster than anywhere in the world, but we need your help to multiply these efforts. We need people who will pray. We need churches that will partner. We need people who will come. We can make a difference if we work together. Partner with us. We can't wait for tomorrow because tomorrow may be too late. Now is the time to reach Africa's next generation. Visit africaschildrennow.org for more information on how you can get started.
So Africa is the fastest growing population on planet Earth right now, due in large part to very high fertility rates. You see, in places like China, where the population is so huge, they've already, as one government being there, curbed the number of children that families can have. But in Africa, there's some 47 different sovereign nations, and for them to agree on anything is next to impossible, but something like that is just out of the question. It's not going to happen. And so the population rate is moving so fast, and that's why we have to go now. That's why we've got to reach the 400 million kids in Africa. Just to pause right there to give context, 400 million kids, and right now the Assemblies of God has 10 missionaries working with those 400 million kids directly. That's the equivalent of having 10 churches, just like this one, across the entire United States of America. Let that sink in for a moment. It's so incredible. So why Kenya? Why specifically go to Kenya? Nearly 10 years ago, the people of that beautiful country grabbed a hold of our heart. I literally was there, and I was there on a trip, and it was my first time to Kenya. And I called my wife, and at the time, she was holding our then son, who was 6 months old, in her arms. And I said, pack your bags. This is what God has called us to do. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt. And some of you might be saying, well, then why are you now, just now going? Well, when you've walked with God long enough, you've experienced Him say, yes, but not yet. See, we knew that God had other things to place in our heart and to do in our life. But 10 years ago, we fell in love with this country because 39% of the population is under the age of 14. That's 21 million kids in Kenya alone that need Jesus. And Kenya sits strategically at the head of the African church. Really, the head of business, the head of everything on the east side of Africa comes through Kenya. And it's the same way with the church. And lots of our leadership in the Assemblies of God and across Africa says, as Kenya goes, so goes the African church. And what we want to see is we want to see Kenya be a country that there's not a single child that doesn't have a church that loves them and cares about them that's in walking distance of them. Can you imagine what it might look like, what Africa may look like, literally as the video said, if those boys and girls grow up knowing how much Jesus cares about them and how much the church cares about them, right now, it's not like that. See, most of the time right now, when a child goes to church, they sit outside underneath a tree while mom and dad get the ministry because the church doesn't value boys and girls. But we're all called to preach the gospel. And as I said, the gospel compels us to go. And you may be saying, well, I don't know how to preach the gospel. I was a children's pastor for 17 years. I had the opportunity to do some cool things. But I also was blessed with the opportunity to eat a lot of McDonald's. And I'm not sure your stance on McDonald's. I particularly could take it or leave it. I'm more of a Chick-fil-A guy myself. But there's something that happens at McDonald's every time you go. There's something that if you order a drink, you get one of these. Anybody know what this is? Anybody know what this is? Okay, now this is the part where I'm going to need a little assistance from time to time. Otherwise, I'm standing up here and I feel like I'm talking to myself. Now there's a straw, and every McDonald's that I've ever been to gives you a straw that looks just like this. There are three colors on the McDonald's straw. Anybody know what they are? White, red, yellow. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. And so I used to teach kids because we wanted boys and girls to understand that they could share the love of Jesus with the world around them just as well as we, the pastors, or we, the leaders, could. You know, there's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. And we believed that the Holy Spirit could fill them with the power they needed to tell others about Jesus. And sometimes you just got to put the right tools in the kid's hand. And so the right tool for me sometimes was a straw. And I would teach them, you know, when you're born, you can tell your friends, when you're born into this world, you're born pure. You're born with what the Bible calls a sin nature. So you're going to mess up. But sin is a choice that we make to not follow God. And the Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of those sins. And who came to shed his blood for us to take away the price of our sins? Anybody know?
Jesus.
Okay, I'm in the right place. Jesus paid the price on Calvary. He died for us. He died for our sins. And his blood allows us to be pure again in the eyes of God. And everyone that accepts Jesus as their Lord and Savior, well, one day the Bible tells us they're going to walk on streets of in heaven. See? Anybody can share the love of Jesus. Now, this is good when you get two or three kids, but sometimes you just need to let them know that, you know, you can do big things for God. Right? Now I have your attention. You can do big things for God. And you, simply by sharing the love of the gospel with the people around you, you're going to change this city. It's not just about being able to fill up the balcony. Because, Pastor, I can see a day when it's not just going to fill up the balcony, it's going to be multiple services. I can feel the presence of God in this place. Just walking around and seeing the excitement, not just in your pastor, but in you as you reached out your hand to greet me this morning and say, welcome, we're glad you're here, even before you knew who I was. I'm excited for the day because when a church gets a hold of preaching the gospel, lives in the city get changed. And just what you did on Friday night, when you showed the love of Jesus to the community in a way that was tangible, that's what it's all about. That's how you preach the gospel. Now, this is how I know that my wife is walking out of the room because everybody's head turns and walks with her with a giant straw. I lost you for a minute there. But listen, the gospel is this. Remember, I said it when I first started. The good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. And this is the best part. He lived the life that I should have lived. How many of you are thankful that Jesus did that? He lived the life that I should have lived. And even more important, he died the death that I should have died. Because he took my place. He was resurrected 3 days later. How many of you are thankful that he's not in the grave? I got to go to Israel in June, and I got to see multiple spots where they think could have been the tomb. And it's so incredible to realize, the one lady said it best, there's lots of places here that'll tell you this is the tomb for sure. And she was our guide for that particular part. And she said, I really don't care where the tomb is because my Jesus isn't in it anymore. He rose from the dead 3 days later, proving he was the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents, so they can spend eternity with him. Number one, we are called out to preach the gospel. That's every one of us. not just the pastor. Number two, we are called to make disciples. Jesus says it this way in Matthew 28, 19, as he's ascending into heaven, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So, we talked about what the gospel was. What is a disciple? I'm glad you asked. I had the honor of being the national director of Junior Bible Quiz, and all three of my kids grew up in Junior Bible Quiz, doing Junior Bible Quiz. And there's a question in Junior Bible Quiz. It's simply this: what is a disciple? And the answer is a learner or follower of Jesus. That's a simple answer. Maybe that's a little too simple, though, and as I was preparing, I went to the resource that your pastor probably never uses because he studies and uses just commentaries and all that. I went to Google. Anybody else ever gone to Google? Probably during pastor's message, you've gone to Google. Like, I don't know about what he's saying right now, right? I know none of you have ever done that. But Google's definition, I was shocked. This is what Google has to say. A disciple is simply someone who believes in Jesus and seeks to follow him in his or her daily life. That spells it out. That's simply put. Now, I knew that Google, being a secular company, they were probably going to take me on some twists and turns, so I kept reading. I didn't just click on the first one. I kept reading. And it said this: originally, of course, a disciple was someone who literally knew Jesus in the flesh and followed him. But after he was taken up into heaven, anyone who was committed to Jesus was called a disciple. Yay, Google. That's a great answer. You see, I have come to the understanding that this next statement is one of the It's one of the truest statements to ever be made, and that is this: the mobilized church is God's plan to reach the lost. I'll say it again. The mobilized church is God's plan to reach the lost. You know, it's not God's plan for you to sit right here every Sunday morning and just soak up everything you get and never do anything with it. You got to take it outside of these doors. You got to go to where you work. You got to go to where you go to school. You got to go to your neighbors and your friends and everybody, your kids' ball teams, everybody. And you got to share the gospel. And you got to make disciples. So how do you make a disciple? How do you make a disciple? Well, you start when they're young. Most of you who are parents or grandparents in this room have probably prayed and held on to this word at some point or another in your life. But it's Proverbs 22:6, and it says this: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, you got to start when they're young. Think way back for some of you not too long ago, but some of you way back to maybe when your child took their first steps. I can remember with Madeline. She's about 9 or 10 months old, right around there. And I can remember getting down on one knee in front of her and just encouraging her and saying, yes, you can do it. And watching as she took those steps. But what happened to her and every baby after they take their first couple steps? What do? They fall down. They fall down. But I remember being so excited and picking her back up and helping her and saying, come on, you can do it, you can do it. And then Maya comes along, our middle daughter, and the same thing. I can remember standing there going, Maya, you can do it, sweetie, you can do it. And she'd take those steps, and what would happen? She'd fall down. Mason came along, and again, we see him standing up, beginning to hold on to things, and he goes to take those steps, and we just went ahead and said, nope, we know what happens next. Because once they're mobile, they're tough to keep up with. Some of you will get that on Tuesday. It's okay. But listen, it's the same way with baby Christians. Somebody's got to be there encouraging them, saying, come on, you can do it. And they're going to take some steps and everybody's going to cheer. And then they're going to fall down. And what happens in that moment when they fall down is crucial. Because my Bible tells me that the righteous may fall down 7 times, but they get back up. You see, it's not a matter of how many times you fall down as you're learning to walk. It's, do you learn to walk? Do you learn to take those steps? And every good parent in here knows that you can react to your child's falling down with a smile and a yay, you got it, and pick them back up, and they're going to keep walking. But if you get beside yourself And you're so fearful of them falling that you never let them take a step. Are they ever going to get anywhere in their journey? They're not. We've got to help them take those steps. And you do that when they're young. You got to teach, just like we have to teach boys and girls to read and memorize God's word. We've got to teach baby Christians to spend time in the word. Because God's word will be there for them no matter what. God's word is going to be there, and they can stand on God's word. Because God's word will never fail them. It's been so incredible for me, you know, as my daughter, when she entered the world of club basketball, my oldest daughter, about 2 years ago, we were looking around and she was 6 inches taller than everyone else. And coaches were starting to come and say, does she play on a club team? And so we said, okay, we'll enter this world on one condition. And that is this: God, you'll let this be our mission field. Because as a pastor for 20 years, it's easy to live in a bubble where all I ever do is talk to church people and Christians. And so God literally opened up a door for us to be around a whole bunch of unbelieving people. And it was so cool. About 3 weeks ago, one of the assistant coaches on the varsity team came over during the JV game, and she sat down next to me and she said, I have a question. I said, okay. Not knowing where this was going to go. You know, sometimes when people say, I have a question, and they're asking me this question, it's because they want something from the church or they need something. She said under her breath just a little bit, because I think she was a little nervous of what some of the other parents would think. But she said, how do you read the Bible? And I said, okay. Inside, I'm going, yes. But externally, I kept it calm, cool. I said, well, tell me what you mean. And she said, well, I've been around church my whole life, but I've never read the Bible. I've never opened the Bible. Where do I even start? And I was like, yeah, this is cool. And so I said, you start with the book of John. And you've got my cell phone number. Any question you have, my wife and I would love to answer. And to be honest with you, I thought that's where the conversation was going to end. But 3 days later, around 6 a.m. in the morning, I got a random text. What in the world is the Holy Spirit? I was like, yes, because she's reading God's word. And if she'll learn to stand on God's word will always be there for her. And that's how we make disciples. Not only do you start where they're young, but how many of you remember show and tell? Anybody remember show and tell? Well, God set up a system in the Bible for show and tell. Because he knew that's one of the best ways we learn is when we can see it and touch it and feel it, then we can live it. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to skip ahead a couple slides, and we're going to go to verse 4. It says this: Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house. Now, if we scroll back up a little bit to verse 4, there's a pretty familiar statement that Jesus makes. He was asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the most important commandment? And he responds, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Because see, just like Jesus's parents, every Jewish boy and Jewish girl growing up, they were taught these things right here. And when they hit a certain age, they got to go through a ceremony where they began to be the ones to give the prayers in public. And there's a picture from when my wife and I were in Jerusalem this past year, and there's a young boy who's going through his bar mitzvah, and if you look closely, around dad's hands, they're literally tied. And if you get close enough to the picture, you would see that there's God's word tied around. Because we think that's a figurative thing. And in a lot of ways it is. But in the Jewish culture, that's a literal thing. They don't walk around every day. But for important ceremonies like this, where his son is getting to pray for the first time out loud in public, in this setting, he's wearing it around his wrist. If you go up a little higher around the sun, you can see the box. And inside of that box is literally God's word written inside the box. It's ideal. It's a show and tell. That's called a Teflon. There's also something called a mezuzah, which every hotel we went into, when we went in June, we got to go through the Holy Land, and it was incredible. And every hotel we went into, as we went through the door, we didn't even notice it at first, but in the top corner of the door, there is a mezuzah, where they have inside of that little box a scroll that's rolled up that has God's word written on it. Because they want their children to know, this is where we came from. This is what God has done for us. Imagine if we as a church adopted that. And not only do we teach it to the boys and girls who are just across the way, but to the new believers. We showed them how important and how valuable God's word is. See, we're going to help lead the mobilized church in Africa. We're going to work with a guy named James. And James, when he was younger, as a child even, knew that he was called into children's ministry. There was only one problem. As far as we can tell, when James was a kid, there was one church in the entire nation that had anyone working directly with kids, and it wasn't anywhere near James. Again, there's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit began to work in James's heart and James's life, and James grew up and went to Bible college. Still, there's no courses for how to be a children's pastor at East African School of Theology, East as it's called. But James knew that that's what he was supposed to do, and so he began to accompany the outreach teams, and he began to watch as the outreach teams would hold these crusades and all the kids would be told to go outside and wait. And James knew that he was there for a reason at that point, because James went outside to those boys and girls and he began to disciple them. He began to teach them God's word and show them the love of God. And then he began to recruit others, as every good children's pastor has to do. He had to build a team. And it's our heart, we're going to go and we're going to stand alongside of James. And we're going to hold his arms up. We're not called to be the missionary that stands in front of tens of thousands of kids, though I'm sure those opportunities are going to happen. My wife and I and our family, we're called to be the one who's standing over in the corner being the loudest cheerleader for that national pastor. Because the only way that it's going to sustain and we're going to see those 400 million kids reached is if the people of Kenya and the people of Uganda and the people of Burundi or the people of you fill in the blank step up and they begin to learn how. And the only way they can learn is if someone goes and teaches. And so we're going to come alongside and we're going to teach and we're going to train and we're going to see kids changed, because disciples are made to reach others. We're called to preach the gospel. We're called to make disciples. But more importantly than any of that, each and every one of us is called to obey. We're called to obey. You want to live a blessed life? Obey God's word. That's what Jesus says. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him, John 14:21 says. Obedience is key to blessings. I've seen it in my own life. We are doing everything we can to show our kids what it means to obey God. I had the opportunity to take Maya, my self-proclaimed middleist. See, she looked and saw sister was oldest, brother was youngest. She said, I'm middleist. That's the kind of, pray for me, that's all I'll say. But I got to take her for her 12th birthday. You have the opportunity, Maya, you can go with daddy on a trip, or you can stay home and be with mommy, and we'll throw you the biggest birthday party. Because this is a series of lasts. Our goal is to be on the field in July 1. We were just approved September. We're moving at lightning pace. And I said, you have the choice. She said, where are you going, Daddy? I said, Minneapolis. Got to speak to some children's pastors. She smiled real big and she said, I want to go to the Mall of America. At that moment, I realized that this child that is 100% just like her father has a little bit of her mother in her. Okay? And so we're sitting in the Mall of America. Finally, we were blessed. Somebody at the conference that I was speaking at gave us two. I was hoping for only one, so I couldn't ride the rides. But they gave us two wristbands to ride all the rides. And we finally rode the ride that Daddy wanted to ride, which was the big Ferris wheel. We had flipped over hundreds of thousands of times, it felt like. I had almost thrown up three times. And I was like, no, stop. We're going to ride that one. And we sat there on the Ferris wheel, moving at the pace that I wanted to move. And I looked at my little girl and I said, you know why we're here? And she said, yeah, Daddy. This was the coolest thing. Yeah, Daddy. Because we're obeying God to go be missionaries. Somebody blessed us with this. That's what it's all about. When you'll walk in obedience, God brings the blessings. That's just how it is. When you obey his word, he does that. And we've been praying and we've been believing, going, okay, God, you got to help us with our kids, because we got a 15-year-old girl that is realizing she's not going to be able to get her license. She's realizing that there's a lot of things that she was getting ready for that she's going to have to put on a hold for a little bit. So God, you got to help her. And she went to our youth convention, the state youth convention. We went with a friend, and she's sitting there amongst 1,000-plus kids in the auditorium of Tommy Barnett's church, sitting there, and they're having a worship moment, and the assistant district youth director is praying, and she's just praying, and she stops suddenly. She said, someone in this room is called to be a missionary to Kenya. And my, at the time, 14-year-old little girl looks down at her sweatshirt that I had bought her. Doesn't say Kenya, it just has the Kenya flag on it. And she looks down. She came home and she said, God, talk to me. If you'll walk in obedience, you'll hear his voice and you'll follow him. And when you take steps, you get to hear his voice even more. What is God calling you to do? What is it that God is asking you to obey? You see, our story, back in 2010, I told you I went for the first time. It was me and one other guy, and we began to minister, and I began to train children's pastors. And I knew instantly, this is where I'm supposed to be. It was a feeling where you wake up in the middle of the night, you know it's not jet lag. You know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And I knew. And so I called my wife, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we talked, and we prayed, and we started praying and talking with other missionaries, and we came to the conclusion, God said, yes, but not yet. Transitioned. God sent me to the national office. I was the national director of children's ministry for the Assemblies of God. I still don't know what that means, so please don't ask me. I literally was just being obedient because God opened the door and said, go. And I said, yes, sir, this is where I'm going. I know I'm supposed to be there, God. Yep, but be obedient here first. And too many times we take our eyes off of what's right in front of us, and God wants us to obey because he's given us a little glimpse of where we're going to be, and we can't wait to get there. And so we try to skip a whole bunch of steps, and God just wants us to take one step at a time. The word says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. And so in 2013, I took another trip, and this time I took my wife with me. And we both knew, we looked at each other while we were there and afterwards, and we said, yes, but not yet. And we didn't know why. By now you probably can hear it in my voice. I can't watch that video without tearing up. Because those are the little boys and girls that I wanna be there for. And I wanna help to bring children's pastors to. We said, why, God? And he just said, just be obedient. Within 6 months, we were transitioning out of the national office, and we were going back into the local church to what looked like a step back, to be honest, to a lot of my friends. Why are you going back just to be just a kids pastor again? And I just said, I'm just being obedient. This is what I'm supposed to do. 2015, we went again to Kenya. This time I went, and I took a group of kids pastors with me, and I knew that I knew that I knew that was the last step, but it's not now. Okay, God. And at that point, that's when my wife and I took that dream and we said, God, we trust you completely. And to be honest with you, we stopped thinking about it. Put it on the shelf. Said, God, when it's time, you've been so faithful up to this point, you'll continue to be faithful. And so we kept plugging away and plugging away and plugging away. September of 2018, I went to an event that I was told was supposed to be a conference. Turns out it was a prayer meeting. Yay, I love praying. Don't hear that the wrong way. But I don't feel like I need to fly to Little Rock, Arkansas to pray. But I did. And I'm in this prayer meeting, and I walk in, and they have a map 16 feet wide by 24 feet long this way. And it's a map of Africa. And the guy who's leading the meeting says, I want you to go stand on Africa, and we're going to pray. Because God's done something great and incredible in Africa, but something new is coming. And so I did what I always do. I walked over to Kenya, because I know where Kenya's at in the map. And I began to pray, and God began to break my heart, and tears began to fall. And the speaker said this. He said, some of you, we need you to start sending your best people. It was a room full of pastors. We need you to start sending your best people because God's doing something new in Africa. And in my heart, I'll be completely transparent. The flesh rose up a little bit and I said, yeah, you all need to start sending your best people. Because I knew I had sent my best people. I had sent so many leaders that I wanted to keep on my team. Chrissy's there right now. Literally, just an unbelievable young woman. And she's in Djibouti. And some of you didn't even know Djibouti was a country. You thought it was where you told your child to sit. Sit down on Djibouti. Okay? But she's there now, and she's working amongst people that I can't even say her last name, and I can't even tell you who she's working with because she's so far out on the edge of the spear. And all she wants to do is see people come to Jesus. And when she came back for the first time, she came back on Baptism Sunday and literally broke and wept because it had been so long since she had seen a convert getting baptized. But she's there and she's working. So I was like, yeah, you need to send your best people. And then he stopped and he said, somebody in here, you need to know now is the time. 2 weeks ago was the first time. I've watched this video dozens of times in preparation. 2 weeks ago, I was at a church and I literally almost broke when I heard the video end. And it said, now is the time. Because it's the same thing the Holy Spirit said to me. Now is the time. And I went. And I lost it. And when I brought it back together, I said, okay, God, I told her last time. You've got to tell her this time. Because I didn't want it to just be me. Because last time it was just me. And last time we got way ahead of you, God, and we had to take a couple steps back. I need you to confirm this. There's nothing wrong. God's not afraid of confirming what he's done in your life and what he's doing in your life. And sometimes we get afraid of it because we just want to run out ahead. And sometimes we need to hold back a little bit and let God confirm it. And through a series of dreams and visions, He started confirming it in my wife. Until one day we were in a prayer meeting together and I watched as I was praying. And sometimes your pastor won't admit to this, but sometimes you think about other things while you're praying. And I was praying, leading this prayer meeting, and God was literally like a puzzle. I was watching things fly in. And this is, Scott, this is why you had to be in South Carolina for 6.5 years. This is why I took you to Texas for 4 years. Scott, this is why you went to the national office. This is why you had to come to Tucson. And now is the time. And it all came together. And I went back to the back of my room, and my wife is crying, and she's all in tears. And I'm going, okay, I'm not going to say it. She's just struggling, so... Babe, we got to talk. And she looks up at me and she says, yes, we have to talk. So I did what any good husband would do. I said, you first. She said, no, not this time. You first. And I told her all the pieces coming together. And she said, God gave me the next part of the vision while you were praying. And all I could see was Africans coming into the picture. She looked at me and she said, I think it's time. I think now's the time. And I said, I think now's the time we go talk to our senior pastor. And he encouraged me to go. He encouraged me to go talk to my friend. Because he knew I had a friend that was in missions. And so I started texting, and technology is the coolest thing because now we can text back and forth with Africa. And the worship team can come at this time. We can text back and forth with Africa. And I started texting my friend Chris. I started asking him, what books should I read? And I copied the text. You can put it up here. It's like a picture. There you go. And he asked me this. He said, you preparing for the field yourself? I said, you never know what God has in store. I won't rule anything out, but I haven't heard a clear call for that at this point. That was just a little lie. I wouldn't say I have heard a clear no on that either. And this is Chris's response. Clear call? Have you read your mandate? This is kind of who Chris is. Have you read your mandate from the king called the Bible? As we say, you better have heard a call to stay, which is counter to what he has already said. And in 2019, God confirmed the call. And in 2020, July, if all goes according to plan and God keeps moving the way he's moving, around July 1, my family's going to get on a plane. I'm going to take my babies. And I love my kids. That's the hardest part of saying yes to this, I promise you. Was knowing that it wasn't just sacrifices that I would have to make, but it was sacrifices that they would have to make. And God messed us up one day when he said, don't rob them of their destiny. This is part of their plan too. You see, I had the end. And I knew where I was going. But all I had to do was keep taking one step at a time. What's the next step to what God has called you to do? Some of you, you've seen it way over there, and like me, you're thinking, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to Africa. Let me set you at ease. God might not be calling you to Africa. He may just be calling you to talk to a neighbor who's across the street whose marriage is falling apart. Are you willing to take a step? Because when you'll step out and you'll obey, that's when his blessings come. That's when he confirms the call, and you just keep taking one step after the other after the other. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Nobody's talking. Nobody's moving around. If you'll just give me a couple minutes. Some of you might be in here and you may have never taken that first step towards God. You may never have taken the step of saying, God, I want to make you the Lord of my life. And today's the day. You're thinking, this crazy guy who's taken his entire family to Africa is here. I promise you, to me that doesn't look like a crazy step. That just looks like the next step. Because every step I've taken, God's been faithful. And God wants to be faithful to you today. If you're here and you say, I want to take that step, cross that line of salvation. That's you. This is what I want to do. I want everyone in here to pray this prayer with me today. Say it this way. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for paying the price for my sins. You lived the life that I should have lived. Died the death that I should have died. And you've forgiven me of my sins. Thank you, Jesus. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, and you know you haven't been living the way that you should have, this is what I want you to do. I want you to find somebody in this place today. Somebody who's wearing one of those tags that says Dream Team on it. Find them and say, hey, I prayed that prayer today. What do I do next? And there's a church right here that loves you, that wants to see you take those next steps. And yeah, you might fall down a time or two, but that's okay, because we got a church that loves you and cares about you and is going to be cheering you on to stand back up. Can we stand all across this place right now? Jesus, thank you for the opportunity you blessed me with today to be in this house. God, I pray a blessing over this church. I pray, God, just a blessing over this community, that we would see lives changed, God. I thank you for a church that still believes in sending missionaries, Lord God, around the world to love your people who are far from you, God, that are taking one step every day to get closer to you. God, we give you the glory and the honor in your name. Amen.